You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Congress should undertake legislation that deals with outlawing the 24-hour news cycle. What do you think of that? There can be no 24/7 news coverage. Yeah. Yeah, just make a law. It's a felony. You know those prissy asses. They're not going to jail. So, So, good morning to you. I got an email yesterday. Hey, Matt, can you share with us just an everyday common... everyday common tip for life? Yes, I can. I thought about this a lot. Reheating pizza so it tastes good. Don't do it in the microwave. Then how should we do it? Okay, I only learned this a few years ago, and I'm sure maybe a lot of people know it, but I didn't. The take your pizza and put it take a pan, a frying pan, put it on the stove, and put a lid on it, and then put the piece of pizza in there, right? So what you're doing is you're reheating it the way it's made. Yeah, that's what I did when I saw it the first time. What are you doing? I'm reheating the pizza. I'd put it in the oven, right? Or I'd microwave it. Microwave it. Come on, microwave makes something hot. The art of cooking, okay, the art of cooking is, you know, allowing the different flavors to kind of blend in. So, as it was explained to me, when you put it on the frying pan, in the frying pan, and, you know, and the temperature should be medium to medium low, then it gets reheated, and boom, taste awesome. So, yeah, there's an everyday common tip that I would tell you if you like pizza, and most people do. I think it's America's favorite food. You can make your secondary pizza experience better. Mm-hmm. You can make your secondary pizza experience better. So there's a little love from All Marine Radio right here on a Thursday morning. And if you've never done it, then check it out. Let me tell you what we're gonna do today. Mike Musselman, known as the Gunner to everybody, he's still dealing with his headaches. So I start thinking, who could fill in for Mike? So, and this is small world stuff. Okay, so Mike, I served with a guy named Duffy White. That's right. And Duffy's his real name. Normally Duffy's a nickname, not him. He's born in Atlanta, raised in Memphis, Tennessee. That's right. Anyway, so Duffy's a pretty funny guy. And so I call him, and we're working on a battle study. He was a battalion commander in the march up. So you'll hear from him maybe next week with that battle study. So we're working on that. And I said, hey, what I need you to do before we do the battle study is fill in for Mike, because he's having some problems. And he says, okay, no problem, Mac, whatever you need. Duffy carried the football for President Clinton, the nuclear football. Yeah, he was that guy. Yeah, so you're going to hear from him today in about an hour. So we'll check the news, and then you'll hear from Duffy White. He's fun. He's pretty funny. And we talk a little bit of, we recorded it last night. We talk a little bit of wrestling. Yeah. So just so you know, so you understand Marines, when you walk into where they live, you don't see a lot of really thick books that don't have pictures in them. Okay. You see a lot of picture stuff. It's how they live their lives. And so this going back to the day when you had a squad bay, and then in the squad bay you had a section, and sometimes it would have a TV in it, you know. Most of the time it didn't. It would just have a couch, a couple chairs, a table, and then they'd throw magazines. And the magazines would be picture magazines, like, right, whatever, the WWF magazine of the month, bodybuilding magazine, People magazine, you know, a lot of pictures. So, and wrestling is, I don't want to say it's the favorite sport of the Marine Corps, but it's up there. It is up there. If you want to start an easy discussion, just walk in and say that you think Hulk Hogan's the greatest wrestler that ever lived, and you'll get a very colorful, interesting discussion. Look, I know probably not going to get awarded the Nobel Peace Prize out of that thing, but so Duffy, we talk a little wrestling, yeah. And I on the record admit I bought more than one WWF. I know it's WWE now, but I bought more than one WWF pay-per-view. Yeah, I'm sorry. I freely admit, what? Look, it's part of being a Renaissance man. You can do the whole spectrum of operations. You can do WWE, and you can talk about the subtleties of whatever. That's right. So, anyway, you'll hear from Duffy White. And it really interesting. Really interesting career, but in particular his time at the White House. We talk about the food at the White House. We talk about cool things to see in the White House, the coolest thing he saw inside the White House. We talk about the coolest things he did with, you know, then President Clinton. And so it's awesome. And we talk about a general in the Marine Corps listen to this. General Day, he goes ashore, I thought as a PFC, he might, as a PFC on Okinawa during the battle. When I was a second lieutenant there in 1985, my first deployment ever, 1st Battalion, 5th Marines. Anyway, he was the commanding general of Camp Butler, which was, you know, all the bases on Okinawa. Yeah. He'd gone from invading it to commanding it. That was awesome. So anyway, Duffy tells a story about he was nominated for the Medal of Honor for actions during the Okinawa campaign, which lasted the longest fight the Marine Corps had during the Pacific War. I think was Okinawa. My Guadalcanal may be longer because it was, yeah, they got abandoned for a while. And but anyway, Okinawa, long fight. So, but the paperwork got lost. So all these years later, they start gathering again, and the subject comes up, hey, whatever happened to the Medal of Honor you were nominated for? And he's like, I don't know. Never heard anything about it. So, different chapter, a family has a father, dad pass away, and they're going through his stuff. He, a former Marine, in Corporal Day's company. I'm trying to remember the battalion. 1st Battalion, 28th Marines. No, that, I would remember that. 22nd Marines, something like that. Anyway, on Okinawa, they run across this onion skin. For those who have been in the Marine Corps before, back when we had typewriters, they'll know what that is. But it was something that you, a kind of paper that you use where you could do carbon copies of it. And, you know, and then, you know, you gave one, the original to the CO, you know, you clerk kept the copy. Anyway, they find a copy of the Medal of Honor paperwork that was submitted for Corporal Day in the personal effects of their father. And so, I think, what would most people do with it? Throw it away? Keep it? Put it in another box and let somebody else keep one of the, let one of the family members keep it? They took it and they sent it to Headquarters Marine Corps. And Headquarters Marine Corps looked at it and said, whatever happened to this? And then people started getting notified. There were still Marines alive that were in the squad and had seen what he had done, who wrote eyewitness statements that are required for just about every Medal of Honor. There's now, I think, two, one in the pipeline and Corporal Jason Dunham, that were not done with eyewitness statements that saw what he did, but with forensic stuff. Anyway, that they put the one with video footage and then one with forensic stuff. Anyway, but you need eyewitness statements. So they wrote eyewitness statements, and then I want to say in 1998, Duffy got to be part of the ceremony that General Day, and it's funny. The story's funny, so you have to listen, because the actual medal itself, there's complications with it. I'll leave it at that. You have to listen and listen about it. And how there's, and then Barney Barnum, who you've heard on this program before, who's a Medal of Honor recipient, he comes in the story because he's walking down the hall when Duffy has issues. Yeah. So when the story starts with a Medal of Honor and a Leatherman, a Leatherman tool, you know that that's going to be a good story. What? And you're at the White House. So you'll hear from Duffy White today. And it's funny. It's interesting and funny. You know, what you have to go through to be that guy, to carry the football. How many of them, blah, 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 blah. So you'll hear from Duffy today. And then we might have to shuffle the deck. We might have to shuffle the deck a little bit, so Duffy's interview might slide. I'm trying to get a guy named Sam Legrone on. He's from USNI news, and we've been talking about the disciplinary actions out in the Pacific and making sense of what the Navy's doing. So I'm still negotiating. He was not around yesterday. He said he'd come on, and then went missing yesterday. So we'll see if we can squeeze him in today. So the interview with Duffy might slide a little bit, but trust me, don't miss it. So hang out today with us here on All Marine Radio. So with that said, General Day wrestling. It's quite the interview. Medals of Honor, Leatherman. Yeah, you know it's going to be a good story when it starts out like that. So, good morning to you. The band makes it official. Dedicated to the memory of Major General James L. Day, United States Marine Corps, PFC to Major General, Medal of Honor recipient. Well done.
Can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Let me be clear. As hard as the last 16 years have been on our military, no enemy in the field has done more to harm the readiness of the U.S. military than the combined impact of the Budget Control Act's defense spending cuts, worsened by us operating 9 of the last 10 years under continuing resolutions, wasting copious amounts of precious taxpayer dollars. If you don't get the resources, my closing words, then your strategy is nothing more than a hallucination, because without the resources, there's just so much brave young men and women can do.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major, I'm very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain. It's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose. So you want to keep them in the cage.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's awesome. Can you imagine, were you a Vietnam veteran and you came home and they told you to take your uniform off and don't talk about it and just forget about it?
I can't even imagine. I have so much respect for those guys.
I got a cool email the other day from a Vietnam veteran. He said, hey, I'm a new listener. A buddy of mine told me about your program, and I was blown away at the start. And words to the effect, I'm a fan now. I don't care whatever kind of garbage that you would put on. He said, by virtue of your opening alone, I'll listen. And then he closed with this. It was kind of funny. He said, and oh, by the way, keep those goddamn monkeys in the cage. One day at a time, bro. One day at a time. So, man. The Vietnam veterans have borne a heavier burden. You know, the Korean War veterans just got ignored. Right? That would have been a step up for Vietnam veterans. And if you were lucky, like Butch Neal, you stayed in the Marine Corps, were around other veterans and stuff like that. But a lot of guys got out and on their own. Hold on. Text message. Shit, Mac, General Day was awarded 6 Purple Heart medals. The Medal of Honor is pretty impressive. But 6 Purple Hearts? That's unbelievable. You know, Duffy and I talk about it in the interview. He's talking about the fiasco he has going at the White House. Because one of the other military aides is going to read, Duffy wants to be involved in, so what Duffy's job is he hands, and I have a picture of it, I'll put it up when I post the interview. He's the guy who walks up, the medal is on a, I think it's on a powder blue pillow or some kind of pillow. That's how it comes in the ceremony. And then Duffy's job is, he picks the medal up, and he walks over and hands it to the president. The president then takes it and puts it around General Day's neck. So Duffy's, you know, fired up this piece of history, World War II history. Duffy served on Okinawa, you know, and all these little things that make it a special day and whatnot. So as Duffy's telling the story and we're doing the interview, I'm sitting here, so I pull up General Day's biography. And go to the Wikipedia page that has all his decorations, because I know it's going to have the Medal of Honor citation, because it's the way they do it. So I'm looking at it, and I'm looking at his awards, and I see his Purple Heart. And I said, hey, Duff, the protocol for the Purple Heart ribbon is, and so it's a Purple Heart with a silver star. And I said, okay, just so so subsequent awards to the Purple Heart are bronze stars on the ribbon till you get 5, yes? Because then you kind of run out of room. He said, yeah. And then you get the silver star, and that is indicative of a 6th award. Okay, so, but when you listen to the interview, and I read the citation. Yeah, it's the fact that he's was still walking the planet is nothing short of a miracle. When you listen to what he did and how many Japanese soldiers they found around him, it's a straight up miracle that he, you know, wounded six times. Yeah, it's crazy. So don't miss it. It'll air probably around 9 o'clock today, Pacific time. So, yeah, six Purple Hearts. And truth be told, he probably had more than that. He just didn't document it. But, yeah, it's an incredible story. Let me check the weather. Quantico, cloudy in 69. They've had bad weather there. Yankees got rained out again 2 days in a row. Now they have an off day today. My baseball fix is killing me. Camp Lejeune, raining and 72 right now. Granbury, Texas, home of the Gunner, it is sunny and 79. In Big Timber, Montana, sunny and 59. So Montana's seeing nice weather up there. And then 29 Palms, sunny and 61. Pendleton, mostly cloudy, 53. Okinawa, cloudy, dark, 78. Okinawa, General Day. Can you imagine that? Imagine him becoming the commanding general, Camp Butler, a place, and him looking off, you know, just imagine him driving around the island or flying in and out of the island and looking out of a window and seeing a place where he sat in a ship, you know, would have been 85. So it would have been 30 years prior. God almighty, I'm getting old. So it would have been 30 years before he had sat off the coast of that island and gone ashore with all the thoughts that people have. And it wasn't his first dance either. He had fought, I read it, but he had fought on Guam. Where else did he have fought? He fought someplace else too. It wasn't his first rodeo. And he goes ashore on Okinawa, and then 30 years later goes back as a commanding general, a major general. It must have been an incredible, you know, in his quiet moments, looking out the window of an aircraft, just thinking, you got to be kidding me, Day. How'd you pull this one off? But an incredible guy, an incredible. But Stuffy's story, though, is hilarious. Of the Medal of Honor, him working on a Medal of Honor with his Leatherman. Oh, my God. So don't miss it. And yeah, Duffy's a great guy. He's from Memphis, Tennessee. And, anyway, there you have it. Currently 58 and fair at the home of All Marine Radio, headed for 69 degrees today. And, we got a chance of rain tonight. What? I'm not sure what's going on with the weather. And then 69 degrees with partly sunny skies tomorrow on Saturday. And same thing on Friday. So we're stuck at 69 with clouds in the vicinity. So that is a look at your weather. We'll come back. We'll check the headlines. And joining me is Sam Legrone from USNI News. He wrote the articles about the court martials that are underway relative to the United States Navy and the collisions of the McCain and the Fitzgerald. So we'll talk to him about those and get his thoughts on. First of all, does he go to the, I'm curious whether he goes, because they're taking place at the Navy Yard in Washington, D.C. Does he go to them personally? And then maybe he can answer some questions about it. One, do Navy ships no longer have lookouts on the exterior of the ship because their radars are so good? They don't use a backup system anymore. An age old system that tends to keep you from bumping into things. I'm curious about that. And I haven't seen that written anymore. I haven't seen it written about that. What was going on? What were they doing down in CIC if they weren't paying attention to the surface plot? What were they doing if the radar was set to long range, which made spotting closer in tracks difficult. How does somebody who's a professional surface warfare officer not know that? Because I'm sure that's not the first time that had happened. Anyway, so Sam LeGrand, we'll talk to him coming up in about 29 minutes. So sit back, relax, enjoy the morning with we here at All Marine Radio. Good morning to you.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs at allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
It'll be kind of like being a pilot. You'll come out of college and you want a cyber guarantee. And we'll give you a cyber guarantee.
Great.
And then if you make it through the school, then you'll get qualified and that's what you'll go do. If you don't, then we'll
room in the garage.
Make you an infantry officer.
Worked okay for you and
worked
me.
Worked out for you. Of course, everyone knows that the most intelligent, handsome people on the earth are infantry officers.
As this would convey.
Exhibit A and B.
That's right.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. And you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy, crazy.
I wanted to fame, but not the cover of Newsweek. Oh, well.
That is kind of funny when you see it. You know, I got a little, one of the things I've tried to do, and I've written some of these down, and I remember them, and then I go back and find them. But there's some funny audio that comes out of the interviews that I've done over the course of coming up on 2 years, if you can believe that. In 2 weeks, we'll be entering our third year. Yeah, All Marine Radio, chugging along. Yeah, awesome. But anyway, Duffy, in the course of our interview, what was he? Oh, he's describing the Medal of Honor, okay, and he says, I think it words to the effect that Mac, that there's a difference between the medals of honor that every service gives, that every service awards. Okay, the Navy Marine Corps Medal of Honor is different from the Army Medal of Honor, and so which you know which tends to be the case. You know, everybody awards a Distinguished Service Cross. I think it's the Air Force Cross, and then the Navy Cross. They're all different. Okay, it's essentially the same award in terms of you know the way it's ranked in precedence, but different, right? Like our uniforms are different, right? We're different. But Duffy kind of slipped up. He'll regret saying this forever. So, but yeah, this is what he said. He actually says that I'm smart. So when I heard that, I said, "Oh, that's so becoming a liner on this program someplace." So here it is.
And I don't know if you know, obviously, Mac, because you're smart.
There you go. You know, Mac, obviously, because you're smart. Yeah, he may regret the day that he said that. I'm not sure. Why was he stuttering, though, before? Listen to this.
And I don't know if you know, obviously, Mac, because you're smart.
What? Duff? Yeah, hold on one more time.
And I don't know if you know, obviously, Mac, because you're smart. And I don't know if you know.
What in the hell was that? Maybe it was a recording and got stuck. Interesting. Yeah, so you're going to hear that. Here's an email. Mac, you're a jackass. What? What do you mean? Come on, that's funny. This is from a mutual friend. You're absolutely right. Duffy will rue the day that he ever said that. And good question, Mac. Why was he stuttering? Because he was saying something that wasn't true? That's what I'm thinking. I think Duffy fundamentally is an honest human being, and he was struggling with those words saying that you are smart, because clearly you're not. Just saying. Okay, on to the news portion of the program. Yeah, first of all, let's talk about insulting the host real quick. Stop it, okay? Do not insult the host, okay? Mac, can you give us an update on the Gunner? He sent me a text at 1 in the morning. So my phone goes, whoosh. I look, I'm like, and I keep it on because, you know, I have a daughter that's in her 20s, so if she's out late and she needs help, you know, you're a dad, man. You got to go. Got to go. So, so I look, Musselman. I'm like, what's he doing up? And I know what he's doing up, right? So he's trying to get his headaches right. So he's like, yeah, I can't sleep. So anyway, how's he doing? I think he's doing okay. I think for whatever reason, his Botox treatment didn't take, and so he's dealing with his migraines. So hopefully, here in a day or two, we'll get a better report. But until then. It is what it is. He's dealing with it. So he's doing okay, I would say. My prognosis is okay. All right, let me do some news headlines on our way to the top of the hour. Sam, I think it's LeGron. It might be LeGron. I'll have to ask him when he comes on. We're going to talk Navy discipline. What's going on with the McCain and the Fitzgerald, and how does it make sense? So, and were there no lookouts? It sounds like the court-martial, with the curtain that gets pulled back, and even the redacted investigations are not a pretty look at the United States Navy. And I think everybody knew that. But the Navy, we talked about this, has its own institutional issues. And part of those issues are, while the Army and the Marine Corps have learned the lessons of going to war and whatnot, the Navy has largely, done ops normal, you know. They have done ops normal. So So they, I think they're having to kind of re-ratchet their culture back into a no-shit military culture. From one that went down a road where everything else but things military were important. And I would be curious to know that, was all the sexual harassment training done? Were all the sexual assault things posted? I dare to say, yeah, they were. Because that's what the Navy is about. And, is it about going to sea, being proficient? Evidently not. At least not in the 7th Fleet. You know, I'd be careful lest not to paint with too broad of a brush. Every one of these accidents happened in the 7th Fleet. Why? So we'll talk about that. On to the news we go. I saw an interesting article about the Russian view of all of this. What it deals with is, the headline is, A Russian View on Americans' Withdrawal from the Iran Deal. Pretty interesting article in a publication called The National Interest, which has its own bias, I know. However, but it's an interesting take. It's Putin, for his own preservation, would love to have the Cold War on again, and he's gone down that road. Why is that good for him? Because it keeps Russia separate, right? It keeps the further Russia integrates its economy in the West, and Putin's only delaying it. It will be integrated. So it will be integrated, and the day of the dictator in Russia is coming to a close. It's interesting. A friend of mine who's more well traveled than I, he said, "Hey Mac, check out the demographics of Russia." All right. Look at their birth rate. It's one of the lowest for a developed country on the planet. There is a gloom in Russia about life there. And at some point, it will come to an end. I thought that was kind of interesting. The top headlines in Marine Corps time. Not Marine Corps times. My sister, God rest her soul. The Marine Corps took delivery of its first CH-53 King Stallion, the Kilo model. So pretty exciting stuff. It looks the same. I'm sure there's a pilot out there that are going, "Are you kidding me? You're so stupid." I think it's a little bit wider. Yeah. Delivery took place at New River on Wednesday. It's the most powerful helicopter ever purchased by the Department of Defense. Won't be operational for another year. Delivered by Sikorsky Company. So it's now in a phase where, you know, they do supportability and making sure spare parts and all that kind of stuff. So pretty exciting stuff. Pretty exciting stuff. If you paid attention at all to the aviation woes of the Marine Corps, at the top of the list, in front of the fighter issue, was the heavy lift issue. That our heavy lift helicopters are in abysmal condition. So. The replacement. So, and General Neller said, "Look, this turnaround for this is not going to happen soon." You know, bottom line is, in terms of aviation, we're not in a good place, and it will take us years to get out of it. And so it goes. So, anyway, Marine Corps is down to one final EA-6B Prowler squadron. So if you don't know what an EA-6B is, it's an electronic warfare platform. It's got all this crazy stuff inside of it. And they have made big, big contributions to the war on terror. Their ability to do electronic warfare and a whole variety of missions. From pulsing different areas that were using cell phones to detonate IEDs and blowing some of them up. Having them, you know, just spontaneously blow up because they received an electrical bolt that they fired out to clutch into other stuff. So the ASICB Prowler. I think that some of that mission has been turned over to F-18s. I'm not sure. Let me. We'll see what the Marine Corps has going relative to the EA-6 Prowler. One of the things that I recall is that the cockpit, like I want to say, it's something crazy because of all the electricity around it. In order for the pilot not to become sterilized, that the cockpit is like lined with gold or something, so that it doesn't. It doesn't. The electricity doesn't penetrate the cockpit and render those boys sterile. It's been spending its recent years jamming militants and protecting U.S. pilots from enemy air defense systems by jamming them as well. On May 11th, Marine Electronic Attack Squadron, VMAQ, and you always knew that the electronic warfare, there was, in the Marine Corps anyway, designated Q, and, we used to say, the word, obviously, Q, gonna get you the tag queer. But they were the electronic warfare guys, held its deactivation ceremony, leaving VMAQ-2 as the last EA-6B Prowler squadron in the Marine Corps. It will, VMAQ-3, which was deactivated, will complete its deactivation on May 31st. And then, VMAQ-2, will be deactivated in October. I'm trying to see. So what do we don't have? We don't have any mission. In February 2014, VMAQ-3, the Moondogs deployed to Al-Udeid Air Base in Qatar in support of operations in the Central Command AO. VMAQ-4 subsequently began operations over the skies of Syria that August. I've got to do a little research. The Navy's EA-6 Golf is replacing the EA-6B and will serve as the sole joint electronic attack asset for the DoD. According to DOD spokesman. So is the Marine Corps not going to have, somebody out there knows, is the Marine Corps not going to have an electronic warfare capability, aviation type? I don't know. Because this is the EA-6. I'm sorry, the EA-18 Golf, that would be, so an F-18 configured, and they have all this crazy stuff. I saw, it was called an RF-4 at the time, but it was the electronic version of the F-4, and it landed on the on my aircraft carrier. That thing was ginormous. The F-4, it was huge. It was absolutely positively huge, and then as opposed to the normal looking nose, it had this, aardvark looking nose. I mean, it was because it had all these crazy electronic things that they stick in the nose and then they build the nose around it. Yeah, it had this goofy looking nose. But yeah, back in the day. So so is Marine Corps going to have any? It says it's going to be the only joint electronic attack asset. Does that mean that it's only going to reside in the Navy? I got it that it's the only asset that's going to be used. Does that mean it's only going to reside in the Navy? This number hit the This number hit the news yesterday. There's not much news in Marine Corps Times today, just so you know. Here's how much the U.S. has spent fighting terrorism since September 11, 2001. From fiscal 2002 to fiscal 2017, the U.S. has spent 16% of its entire discretionary budget as part of the counterterrorism fight, a new report found. Counterterrorism funding, a broad term that includes government-wide homeland security efforts, international funding programs, and the wars in Afghanistan, Iraq, and Syria, totaled $2.8 trillion between 2002 and 2017, per the newly released Stimson Center study. That's an average of $186 billion per year over 15 years. For comparison, the figure represents more than the overall 2017 defense expenditures of Russia, India, and South Korea combined. That $186 billion. Yeah. Anyway, I thought you should know that. Make you feel good about yourself. You know what? And it's also a good admonition to be careful about the wars you start. All right? It's why I don't want to hear George Bush ever talk about public policy again. Right? All that money was an optional event. Did not have to happen. Two gigantic mistakes that the United States made. One, sticking around in Afghanistan. Two, starting the war in Iraq and not containing that idiot when you had every reason and every opportunity to contain him. Idiots like Donald Rumsfeld, arrogant idiots, have destabilized the entire region. That has bled into Europe and destabilized Europe, made their lives much more difficult. A. Merkel. Yeah. People like that. The hummingbird people. We could let everybody in and we'll all get along. These cultures will all mix. I don't care if they want to cut off our heads, and they say that all the time. They don't really mean it. Oh, what do you mean about the no-go places in Germany? I don't really want to talk about that in public. Stupid. Anyway, so we deal with it. All right. Real quick, we'll go through. No, then we have to take a break. I know the hummingbird people kill me. Absolutely kill me. I wish, and this memo to the hummingbird people, I really wish the world was the way you want it to be, but it's not. And the only way you do live in peace is if you're strong, and you need to come to grips with that. Okay? I saw this videotape of, I guess it was Elizabeth Warren. Elizabeth Warren on, and talking about, you know, her vision of the country. Everything's free. Everybody has a guaranteed salary. Everybody has guaranteed health care. What does that sound like to you? That's communism. And how are you going to pay for it, Liz? How are you going to pay for it? The country is going to struggle as the baby boom, right? Remember in cartoons when the water came down the hose, it was a big, like, ball? That's the financial impact of the baby boom to you on Medicare and Social Security. How's the country? The country doesn't know how it's going to pay for that. And let's lump free college for everybody, free health care. Yeah. And you look at it, and it's like, I wish the world was the way you want it to be. It's not. So, anyway. All right. Top five stories in the early bird this morning. One, despite shortage, Air Force likely won't boost enlisted pilot ranks. Even as the U.S. Air Force has long-term pilot shortages, there are no plans to grow the ranks of enlisted pilots, a top official said recently. So, there you have it. Two, as Germany prepares for NATO crisis response role, its military readiness is abysmal. This is, we saw this in Stars and Stripes yesterday, but military times only up. How can Germany assume that role if you can't fulfill that role? It's pathetic. Freeloading Germany. Number three, sweeping veteran policy bill passed overwhelmingly in in the House, okay, in the House. House lawmakers advanced a $52 billion veterans legislation package on Wednesday that would overhaul outside medical care options for the Department of Veterans Affairs patients, expand stipends for veteran caregivers, and launch a review of the bureaucracy's national footprint. Okay, we won't talk about it in depth until it passes the Senate. Okay? We won't talk about it. Number four, new veteran ID cards finally being delivered, but feature Office Depot's logo on the back. That's awesome. Thousands of veterans received their free veterans ID cards this week, featuring their names, their branch of service, and a bright red advertisement on the back for Office Depot. Hey, if they're paying for it, who gives a shit? Five, Lyft is coming to Camp Pendleton and Fort Meade. And a base near you soon. Military personnel at two prominent U.S. military installations will soon have a first-of-its-kind transportation option that is sure to alter the weekend safety briefs over of staff NCOs everywhere. So they come on base? How long before somebody uses that as a ruse to get on base? I'm a Lyft driver. I'm headed to the barracks, loaded full of explosive, and detonates the car. I know you're saying, Mac, really? Do we always have to go there? I'm just saying. Real quick, and then we're going to get Sam Legron on. Commentary and analysis. One, in defense one, the campaign to denuclearize North Korea crashes back to earth. I'm not sure that's worth a read. Again, this will go back and forth, the game playing. And, you know, it's illustrative to take a look at when President Reagan and, what was Gorbachev's title? He was the head of the Soviet Union. They met three times before signing their agreement, and Reagan walked out in Reykjavik, Iceland. He left. There's an Asia Times I'm becoming a fan of. Yeah. Grant Newsom, who comes on the program, he has stuff that appears there, so I've paid attention. They have an article, The Russian-Israeli-Iranian Conundrum in Syria. Yeah. That might be worth a read. All right. That's the news today. All right. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Sam Legron is going to join us, and we're going to talk about the United States Navy. So Thursday on All Marine Radio. Then Duffy White. Don't want to miss either one of them. Interesting guys both. More of All Marine Radio coming up on a Thursday edition right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.